How many of you want to know what God's will is? Oh, gee, I don't think so today. No, that's like one of those questions that preachers throw out. And of course, what's the answer? It's a loaded question, right? Of course, we know. Everyone, you're supposed to say, of course. However, there are those times when your life situations are such that you really want to know what God's will is. Sometimes issues aren't as pressing, and it's not as an immediate thing as Christians were all obligatorily at the table saying we want to do God's will, which we do. But there's sometimes when it's pronounced, Lord, I really want to know what way to go. I really want to know how to respond to this. Really want to know. And it's usually when we're reminded that there's things happening in the world that are bigger than we are, and that we don't necessarily have a whole lot of control over. And those are humbling moments, aren't they? Nobody loves, you know, those kinds of moments. However, life in an imperfect world offers us those moments, and sometimes frequently. So I want to just look at this snapshot picture. We're in this kind of time in between a new year starting, and we've just celebrated Advent. We've celebrated the 4 weeks building up to the birth of Jesus and our celebration of that and our celebration of his coming return. It's at this time of year, if we're in a traditional church calendar, as we've kind of discussed over the last few weeks, that we talk about some characters that we don't talk about as much the rest of the year. John the Baptist is always a theme in Advent and exploring who he is and why he's important. Also, Mary is always a significant part of Advent. Occasionally, Joseph is, and we're going to look at Joseph a little bit today. And I just saw something kind of interesting. So this is not deep diving today, but I just saw something that I'd never noticed before about his life, at least not to the depth that there's just a uniqueness of the way God seems to like to communicate with Joseph that I thought was interesting. I'd never seen how many times this particular thing occurs with him. But last week we were discussing what an incredibly competent young woman Mary must have been. What an incredibly wise, seasoned, the way her heart is postured, her level of understanding, because this whole journey with, you know, having to give birth to the Messiah starts when she is likely just barely entered her teens. It was just not uncommon to be married and have children at 14, so she literally could have been that young, even younger. But so God shows, you know, an angel of the Lord shows up to her, speaks to her, and as we saw last week, her response to this very incredible outlining of events and her level of understanding and the posture of her heart is just very challenging to us. And she did not have access to the level of information and education that we have, and yet her worldview is very grounded biblically. And so she clearly was listening in synagogue growing up, likely behind a screen while all the men got to listen to the teacher up front and personal. In a partitioned off area, the ladies are listening, just so y'all kind of get how that all worked back then. Although, if you go to the MSC, occasionally you will see folks from other countries rent a room and you will see the exact same thing happening. Yeah. Not going to get into specifics, but we're not foreign to it. We used to take Hannah to campus to walk, and we went to the MSC one night, and that was an interesting observation to make, to see all the ladies and little kids on one side of the room and all the men on the other. So, however, back to our point, Mary was listening, and she had a very deep understanding of the implications of what the angel was saying to her, and it's obvious from her response. Her worldview was very biblical. She grasped this and responds. And we see this man, Joseph, who, like Mary, is from a humble upbringing. These are not the top tier of society. They live amongst a group of people who are subjugated. They are under Roman rule. They do not have autonomy. They don't have latitude to do as they please. And to make things even worse, they're ruled by the Herodians, the family of Herod, the line of Herod, and they're not Romans, but they're underneath Rome's authority. They get to rule, and they get to keep their kingdom as long as they do everything in the fashion that the Romans want. And it would arguably have been better to just live in a Roman province than live under Herod. But this is their world that they're living in. And God chose these really simple, faithful people of humble upbringing and entrusted the most precious thing that had ever graced planet Earth. And it's just good for us to kind of look at these folks from time to time and just be reminded of their faith. Let it challenge our obedience and our servanthood. So let's just read a few verses. Largely, we're just going to read the story today, make a couple observations. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him, the child. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed by their country by another way. So, the Christmas story, we see the baby in the manger. We see the wise men come, and this is the second time in the story this happens, but we're just going to focus on Joseph here in a moment. They were warned with a dream not to go back to Herod. So, I don't know about you. I don't dream a lot of dreams. I think I had one from the Lord about a week or two ago. Doesn't happen very often to me, so I wrote it down, typed it up, that kind of thing. We see this happen a lot right here in this passage of Scripture. That this is one way God chooses to communicate. He's got a lot of ways he chooses to communicate. But this is one way, and because these are some sort of high-stakes moments, I sometimes think when we're in consequential or difficult times, sometimes God steps outside of his norm because we need him to. Like, I really kind of would like some clear direction. Now, I'm not saying for you to base your life on dreams per se. I'm just saying it's one way God communicates. And it's the type of communication that really frequently needs a little bit of outside perspective to help maybe interpret it, or an elder or a pastor or someone to sort of help you get a context if God has spoken to you that way. Because sometimes we just dream, folks, right? Most of the time, we just dream. After eating, big Christmas, breakfast thing, open presents, I went upstairs, took a nap, had the most profound dream of standing in a TSA security line. It seemed to go on for hours, and I woke up, an hour later, it's like, oh my God, it's like I've been asleep all night. Sometimes dreams are just dreams, folks. Just lots of food in the stomach, and you wind up in a TSA security line. It's just like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. So Herod did not have good intentions, and these guys probably suspected it. Perhaps they didn't, but it says God warned them in a dream not to go back by way of Herod, because Herod was searching for this child to kill him, because he knew that this was going to be the upending of his kingdom, or at least that's what he feared. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's back up a little bit. Now we're going to focus on Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Whoops. Okay, so we've seen the show, and we got to see the glowing angel, and we got to see Mary talk. So we know everything's fine, right? get your mind in Joseph's mind and viewpoint, and this, we got a problem here, right? I thought I knew her. Now he's faced with all sorts of flowcharts. How do I process this? Number one, what she's saying is exactly the truth, which is crazy, or she's creatively lying and using religion as a subterfuge within which to couch this lie, okay? Just imagine crazy eyes at this point, right? God appeared to me. Okay, Mary, yeah, all right. So, apparently y'all don't know who Crazy Eyes. Well, y'all don't know Crazy. You know Crazy Eyes, don't you? Yeah. Gotta watch Crazy Eyes. 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Okay, Joseph has an issue here. Had they not been living, this just came to me, but Kevin will agree. Kevin's good validation because he does a lot of research on things. He's got multiple issues that have come up as a result of this revelation that his fiance, with whom he has not consummated his marriage with, is now with child. And even if she's divinely with child, how do you explain this to the masses? Understand, they lived at a time when adultery or fornication had criminal penalties. Okay? Since they're living under Rome and under Herod, the death penalty had been taken away from their jurisdictions. They didn't have the authority to do this. All plays out in the life of Jesus later, right? Why do they go to Pilate? They can't kill themselves. It's been denied under Roman law. That even as an expression of faith, this has been taken out of the equation. But we got a capital offense here. But he doesn't want anything to happen to her, even if he's heartbroken and thinks she's slept with somebody else or whatever. He's heartbroken, but he's resolved to deal with this quietly. In a sense, understand, God is communicating outside of normal boundaries because in a very real sense, Joseph is bound by God's word at this point. He's in a box. So God has to speak for him to exit the God-given box that he's in. Boy, some people would get me lots of interesting comments on YouTube if this, but understand that's the reality of it. He's in a bind within the law of Moses. And they both seem to be good Jewish children, good Jewish young people obeying the law. He's in a emotionally painful situation on a personal level, but he's got other big implications that he's trying to come up with a way to deal with this. Verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, the angel comes, appears in a dream, and brings him God's word to allow him to leave. His level of understanding about God's word at this point had him bound in certain ways, societally and morally. And God's speaking to him, the word of God comes to help him navigate the place that the word of God had bound him. Make sense? Why is that important? We have to be really careful with how we use the phrase word of God. He'd already had a answer in the word of God. She needs to die. Wouldn't it be great if everything just happened in kind of real easy ways, you know, like theology's easy. No, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there's no great word of God for, I got to make a decision about one of these two jobs. Well, go read your Bible. Still a great thing to do. And God may speak to you in some way through that, but that doesn't, the Logos word revealed to us does not speak to every single situation. So God allows the privilege, the luxury of speaking in ways that are outside of that. Why? Because he's God and he can do whatever he wants. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel. So, God's word comes to him in a dream, and God's word addresses the boundary, the bind that he has been placed in by his understanding of God's word. Fascinating. So yes, read your Bible, people. It's life. It's the foundation of our life. God speaks to us. I've found God seems to speak in an individual, specific way more when I'm reading the Word. Amen. So it's not one or the other. It's all the above. So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So an angel appears to him in a dream and brings some context and some understanding and some direction. Settles some issues. Imagine the peace that he had in his own heart, knowing Mary's never lied to me. I want to marry her because I trust her completely, that her character is pure and she is as she says she is. But I'm challenged by this horrible situation, and I'm thinking things about her that I've never even considered before. And God comes to him and says, this is God's will. Be at peace. I'm asking you to step into a really complicated situation, and the world is not going to understand it until later. But all the people that raised their eyebrows about what was happening with Mary and Joseph, and the timelines don't seem to quite match up. Guess what? We're not talking about them anymore, 2,000 years later. We're talking about Mary and Joseph. But God asked Joseph to step into some difficult things. He asked Mary to step into some incredibly difficult things that the world around them did not understand. Their world didn't understand. All right, moving a little further in the story, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now we've just met the wise men and they were warned in a dream, don't go back by way of Herod. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Imagine that. And said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And remained there until the death of Herod. And this was what was to fulfill. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. So it would be interesting to know in the moment. Did they even know they were fulfilling prophecy? They were just trying to survive. They're just trying to get out of a bad situation. And God's guiding them, and while doing that, connecting the dots to things the prophets had spoken hundreds of years or even more than 1,000 years before about certain details of the Messiah, even his birth in Bethlehem. There's so many details about the Messiah. We get into a level of statistical anomalies that is just, well, it's kind of like election night in Pennsylvania with hundreds of thousands of votes. Just, wow, how convenient. No, we're getting into levels of statistical anomaly that how could one person step onto planet Earth and let's try and make this happen. You couldn't try and make this happen. He needs to be born in Bethlehem. He needs to be from Egypt. He needs to be from Nazareth. And he's going to get betrayed by 30 pieces of silver. There's like 24, 36 of these things. There's like 48 very specific things about Jesus in the Old Testament, and even more, depending upon how specific you want to get. Boom, boom, boom. God is fulfilling prophecy. But in real time, these folks, we want to survive. It was unlikely that, I think they were listening in synagogue. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's unlikely they were deliberately trying to fulfill this stuff. They probably didn't even understand much of this until later. And so they went and lived in a city called Nazareth. That which was spoken by the prophets would be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. So we see God directing traffic. And so twice, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and speaks to him. All right, moving on. Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. The story of the Messiah is in a backdrop of savagery and cruelty. These were consequential times they were living in. It's consequential times we're living in. It seems like before something good happens, it seems like there's a lot of bad things that happen. Moses in Egypt, they cry out for a deliverer. God sends a deliverer, and what is the enemy's response? Try and snuff the life out of anything that could remotely resemble this thing that's coming, that's going to deliver. Moses in Egypt, lots of kids died. Herod, Bethlehem, the whole region, lots of kids died. Why, isn't it great those kinds of things aren't happening today? Oh, wait, we've got an abortion industry that is almost unrestricted. Heck, you can just deliver the baby now in Virginia and just snuff its life out if you have a conversation about really whether this is a good idea or not. We'll put the baby aside and while the parents have a conversation about whether they want to move forward with this. What the hell, folks? I mean, we hear so much bad news, but it's just like we just get numb to it. What the heck are people thinking? I know I've said this plenty of times. Europe has fairly sensible abortion laws compared to America. You don't get abortions out of the first trimester. I'm not advocating that, but my point, what a contrast. Why is it a free-for-all here in America? And it's easy for us to just get numb with it and accept it. And it's like, no, this is horrible. This is wrong. This is evil. Is there a place for it medically for certain reasons? Yes. But as a form of birth control? No. It's wrong. It's evil. We have to have some perspective on this, some clarity. Okay, Merry Christmas. Well, that always brings the amens out there. My point being, this is what the enemy's done throughout the ages, and it's what he will continue to do. The shedding of innocent blood, it's like a fuel for his kingdom or something. Just an observation. I'm just saying. Matthew 2, verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. There we go again. Number 3. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Verse 22. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. 4. Is number four a back reference to number three? I don't know. Maybe some would interpret it that way. Sure seems like four distinct events to me, though. God speaks to him in a dream. He went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so what was spoken of by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Boom, another instance. God fulfilling his own word with his word and guiding circumstances so that he could be found faithful and he could be found true and his word could be found true. He laid it all out beforehand, and it's all being fulfilled in a miraculous way. And so it wasn't enough that they just get back to the land of Israel. He gets warned in another dream to get him to the very specific place the family needed to be so he could be called Jesus of Nazareth, which was another prophetic fulfillment. So what's the point? I don't know. Take some naps. Have some dreams. I don't sleep enough. They say you're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep. I don't know how you could. I'm not an early riser either, but just like, wow. I know we're all not getting enough sleep. Sometimes God speaks to us in unusual ways. This is one of them. My point is not be open to the fact that God may speak to you in your dreams, because there's a scriptural precedent for it. My point is, God speaks. And we need to be listening, because we're in consequential times. And we all know what God's will is. And some dreams have a clarity, and your ability to recall them is unique enough to where that might be one of those that is worth some considering. Like some dreams, most of us don't even remember what we dream. And sometimes we dream with a level of clarity, and there was not God wasn't saying anything to us through that dream. Our psyche was just doing what it does to recharge and refuel and what have you. But sometimes God speaks to us, and it's in a way, there's a level of clarity. And that's one way God speaks. And if he speaks to you that way, you need to bounce it off of somebody. There's people around the church that can help with that. But the point is that he speaks. Now, notice this happens to Joseph four times. So in our uniqueness, we might be predisposed to hear God in certain ways, which is really that's the point more than dreams. Does that make sense? As we journey for longer periods, God sort of has some recurring themes in our heart and in our minds and in our life, and this could be one of these. We just may have some unique ways that God speaks to us. And now is the time for us to be really hearing what God's saying, because I don't know if y'all have noticed, but the world's kind of crazy right now. All right, Acts chapter 2, we're going to draw this to a close. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. Peter's preaching at Pentecost, trying to explain all the mayhem that's going on. It's 9 in the morning. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed the crowd. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So Peter's appealing to God's word to put some clarity on what's happening in front of him. Verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Yes. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Oh, wow. Bam. Busted. Had a dream 2 weeks ago. Look at that. Old men dreaming dreams. I've been categorized in the Word of God in a way I do not want, but. Verse 18, even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I shall pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. They shall speak what God is saying. Are you all flesh? I think you're in the category of people that if we will posture ourselves God will pour out his Spirit on us. He'll share things with us unique to our journey, but he'll share things with us that the world needs to hear. He'll communicate with us. Sometimes he will share, not just by word, but you may just get a grasp of his heart for somebody. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion when he would see certain events. I think Jesus was probably compassionate all the time, but there's a reason why the Holy Spirit put that into Scripture. Sometimes we see something and it's just like, I have got to go get in the middle of that situation and help in some way. Why? Because I'm gripped at a level beyond what is the norm. Hello? God speaks in lots of ways, but he speaks to you for your benefit, but not just for your benefit. He speaks to you so you can labor with him in bringing blessing and encouragement to the world, because our world desperately needs that right now. Amen? So let's stand. I'm kind of jealous of Joseph. I like angels. I've studied them extensively. And I've never seen one. I've never had a dream where one, you know, spoke to me. That might be kind of scary, because it seems like when that shows up, somebody's getting asked to do something kind of unpleasant. So maybe it's not a good thing to wish for something like that. But I have thought, wouldn't it be nice to just like see what an angel looks like? And I know they have like lots of forms and ways they can appear. They seem to have the ability to manipulate matter. God's the only being that can create things out of nothing, but angels have the ability, it seems, to, they can take on physical form, or they can be glowy and radioactive. They're just different than us. Yeah. They've got unique characteristics that are unique. But I've never seen one. I'd like to. Wouldn't that be cool? Or maybe not. It might be terrifying. But, you know, whatever. I'm up for something stimulating. So there you go. The point is, though, let's just engage the Holy Spirit and ask him to come. This is our final Sunday in 2020, and there was great rejoicing. 2020 had such a nice ring to it, you know? It just sounded like it should have been great, you know? Wow. Numerically, it's an off year, though. If you study biblical number stuff, the sum of the numbers is 4. This is not, that's like one of the rare, almost every number except like 6, it has some kind of prophetic meaning somewhere. 4 is one of those sort of like, just not terribly interesting numbers in the Bible. However, I'm sure there's somebody who would protest about that. But 2021's got, you know, the sum value is a little different. I think it's a little more of an upbeat year from a prophetic standpoint, because wow, 2020 just didn't live up to expectations. You can only go up. It's true. Sometimes you gotta have plain oatmeal to know what a ribeye, you know, tastes like. So plain oatmeal, no sugar, no nothing. Just wow. It's bland as it can get. But healthy. Okay. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here as we close out this year. We're still blessed. We have been blessed in the midst of adversity and protected. So many in the world have a much harsher experience on a day-to-day basis than we do. So we're at the table saying we're still grateful. Lord, you've still been good. We look forward to a new year. Lord, we just say to you, we are in consequential times, and we ask that you deliver us from evil. We ask that your kingdom would come, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. We pray you would make things right according to your kingdom and what you want to move forward in 2020. Lord, I pray right now for every person here. Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak in ways that we can understand. The angel would speak to Joseph in a dream. We've seen 4 instances of that. That's unusual. And that was maybe just a unique way that you connected with Joseph. But whatever the way is that you choose to speak to us, Lord, we pray that your word would be alive in our hearts and minds and our souls. Lord, we pray we'd be diligent to feed our soul from your word. And we ask you to speak to us from your word and beyond. Lord, we ask you to bring your word to us in dreams and visions and prophetic encouragement. Lord, we say to you, we want to bring blessing to our world. And so we ask you to share your burdens with us and share your heart and share your knowledge with us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.